You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
No, 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 no. That's a good Friday song to play. Thank you, Samuel. I love it. 5:30. If you would like to join the party in Lawrence, they are about to host an enormous send-off for Team Algeria. You may be thinking, wait, where are they sending them off to? They're sending them off to Kansas City.
Long trip.
There is a huge send-off going on at 5:30 outside of the Leeds Center. They are going to form a human Algerian flag. They're then going to march to the team hotel, which is not some fancy schmancy foofy hotel, by the way. Pretty sure they're staying at the Doubletree Inn, to send off the team to Kansas City as they are set to face Austria tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Are you going, Dan? Are you going to be around any of that stuff? Because that, I think that's going to be a fun one.
I won't be all the way out in Lawrence. It's so far away.
Oh, it's so far away.
I mean, it's just ages.
I mean,
away.
How? How could you even begin?
Also, the Doubletree catching unnecessary strays out here. What?
I know it. I'm just saying.
It's a fine hotel.
There's nothing wrong with the Doubletree. I'm just saying, you know, it's not the Ritz-Carlton,
but
it's
schmancy.
No, I'm just saying they are salt of the earth in Lawrence.
Much more frugal. That's yes. Okay.
Staying at the Doubletree.
Yeah, I think I will be down at Fan Festival at some point. I'll probably catch the match on the big screen.
Okay. I want to go. I still have not been down to Fan Fest. I am going to do it.
You're about to lose out on opportunities if you don't go.
I know.
Tomorrow. It's going to be another week until Fan Festival is open again.
Okay.
So,
can I read you a headline? Because there's lots going on this weekend. Soccer is one of them.
I would hope you would read me a headline.
But
yes.
There's something else going on, and I don't understand it. Sort of like them asking you to bring a caribou to the Leeds Center to help send Algeria off. That's actually written in a news story. We still don't understand why, but that's what it said. I read it and I double checked it, and that is what it said. I'm going to read this to you because if you are into gardening, we are about to wrap up National Pollinator Week. You might not have known, but National Pollinator Week is wrapping up Sunday. And according to my alma mater, WIBW in Topeka, Kansas, the celebrations aren't over yet. Nye, if you still want to celebrate National Pollinator Week, it is time to get your celebration on. And this is what the headline reads, okay? Shawnee County Master Gardeners to host wildflower seed bomb-making event.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
What is a wildflower seed bomb-making event?
Well, you'll have to go and find out.
No, I don't think I want to be any part of that celebration, Daniel. It literally says, and it's hyphenated, bomb-making event.
Wildflower seed bomb-making event, meaning
what is a wildflower seed bomb? You keep saying it, and it doesn't make any more sense to me.
It's like a bath bomb.
Yeah, I don't know, but if I had to guess, this is a way to spread a lot of wildflower seeds.
Yeah, it's like seed balls. They're little
clumps.
Shouldn't
the hyphen be between seed and bomb and not bomb and making?
Well, yes, if we're going to quibble about grammar, yes.
Dan, punctuation matters.
Yes, it does.
And when a bunch of old people are photoed and it says, come join our celebratory bomb-making event, I'm sorry, I put it in the stack because it doesn't make sense to me. Take your caribou to Lawrence, and you can enjoy some bomb-making, apparently, with the pollinator people in Topeka. You do you. I'm not here to judge.
We are arming the bees.
Oh, my God. Move the hyphen. WIBW. And then listen to this out of Alabama. This might be funny, not funny. Funny, not funny, but one of my favorite stories of the day. An Alabama couple has, I think they've been arrested, after getting into an on-camera beef with a customer who left a one-star review about their new ice cream shop.
Uh-oh.
Oh, we've got to see if there's video, but I don't know. I don't know that we're going to be able to play it. Okay. Married Alabama ice cream shop owners are facing charges after they ripped into a customer in a caught-on-camera confrontation over a one-star review the customer left for their business.
Did they start throwing hands?
They did, Dan. The local scoop is what it's called. The local scoop. They served up a scoop of whoop. Local scoop owners Mallory and Ryan Goldman.
I'm going to give you a scoop of whoop ass.
Confronted Daniel Smith in a McDonald's parking lot 3 months after he complained online that the shop's workers screwed up his order. This is where the not funny part comes in. Because I'm worried this is going to involve assault and battery. Just give me a minute. If you are a business owner, you know how incredibly frustrating it can be if someone leaves a bad review. And then to try to rectify the situation, it's why I've seen signs before where small business owners will say, before you go screaming on Yelp, we are locally owned and operated. We are here to make things right. Please come find a manager if you have an issue before taking it out on all of us online. Like, whatever, we're here to help you. Apparently, that did not happen in this case. Quoting here from Scoop owner Mallory Goldman, I am mad because I have busted my blank at something and you think you are going to run it into the ground. She fumed at Smith, who was recording the exchange on his phone. She continued her tirade against him as the two exchanged verbal jabs about each other's appearance and financial situation in the nearly 15-minute video.
There's some built-up frustrations.
There is some pent-up frustrations coming out of the local scoop, people. Then she issued a warning, and this is where she broke the law. Do not continue to involve yourself in my business. I will absolutely do something. Okay? In saying that, she went from, I'm angry. Please stop harassing my business. Please stop telling people it's a bad business. I've worked really hard to make this thing come to fruition. She crossed over into a threat, and now you have assault. It's assault. Eventually, her husband joined in and also laid into the customer. The customer, by the way, is a DoorDash driver and said when he left the review back in March, he didn't think twice about it until he and Mallory ran into each other at a stoplight.
Well,
how small is this town?
Sam, it's small.
Sam, could we see during a break if it's even remotely possible in this 15-minute exchange? If there's anything suitable for air, for the air.
Yeah, down in Bay Minette, Alabama. It's down near Mobile.
So they meet at a stoplight. Oh, my God. And then the customer agreed to meet the ice cream shop owner in the McDonald's parking lot after he dropped off his DoorDash order, sparking the angry encounter.
You want to go? Let me drop off my delivery. Then we're going to go.
Okay. It does say both sides recently appear to have buried the hatchet.
In each other's back.
There's a lot of layers to this, she says. I'm not defending what I said, but it's not just as simple as a post made about my business. And that's why I say, funny, not funny, because if you own a business and anyone has ever said anything, I have friends who are business owners.
Mm-hmm.
There have been people who have gone online and defamed them. There have been people who have gone online and said untrue things. One of these was a topic about 3 years ago, and I'm not going to bring up the company, but someone went on the, you know, Yelp or Google, whatever, and said, this happened and this happened, and it just flat out had not happened. So that part of the story is not funny. The meeting at the stoplight, and then we're going to hash this out in a McDonald's parking lot, and then the video that led to assault charges on a 15-minute recorded cell phone. I don't care who you are. That's funny.
That's an Alabama Saturday night.
1-3-586-7798. We'll check it.
Never worry about the local scoop again, okay?
I can do whatever I want.
You shouldn't. It would be in your best interest not to. Mallory and Ryan Goldman, owners of the local Scoop ice cream shop, were arrested Thursday night and charged with misdemeanor harassment and criminal mischief. The charges stem from a June 7th encounter with Daniel Smith, a customer who left a one-star Google review of the business on its grand opening in March.
Didn't think nothing of it until I was reminded 3 months later.
Smith says he was working as a food delivery driver.
Wait, can we start it over, Sam, to the beginning? No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
See if I can find it again.
Stop leaving reviews about my business. I'll do whatever I want.
Don't ever worry about the local Scoop again, okay?
I can do whatever I want.
It would be in your best interest not to.
Mallory and Ryan Goldman, owners of the...
Don't you ever post about the local Scoop again. My God. I love Alabama, and I can say that because they are Biloxi adjacent, and those are my kin.
Yes. From the text line, cue the dueling banjos.
Yep.
We'll be back with much more.
Oh, you want to go?
You want to go?
Excuse me, can I please get a number two with a large side of fries?
Did they order at the McDonald's in between the warring over the local Scoop? We're back after this. Seriously. Really cool update from Channel 5 regarding the iconic heart structure down at the FanFest. They are now saying it may get a permanent home after the World Cup. The giant heart structure at the entrance of the FIFA Fan Festival was not designed to be permanent, but it may get a permanent home in our town at some point. KC 2026 CEO Pam Kramer said organizers are exploring options to keep at least one and possibly more of the structures that Populous designed for a fan fest after the World Cup ends. It's really becoming, she said, the icon of the World Cup, she told reporters this morning. And if you haven't been down there, as you look through it, it is, what is it, Sam? Three stories tall? It is gigantic. And as you look through it, there's the stage, there's the big soccer ball in the middle, and then the World War I monument and museum is like rising in the background behind it. Kramer said that Kansas City Chiefs owner Clark Hunt visited the fan festival during its soft opening and predicted the structure will be the defining photo of this event for decades. He said, this is going to be the photo that 30 years from now, when everyone tells their children, I was at the World Cup, this is going to be the photo they point to. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think the most iconic photo we have seen up to this point was the one on the front page of the Kansas City Star website yesterday, the sea of orange, and one of the fans holding up, what is the smoke bomb, Dan? That's a bad word for it, but celebratory smoke in orange. I think if you have to look at all the photos, and there's been great photojournalism here throughout the World Cup, I think that is the most iconic photo I've seen.
Yeah, the photos, iconic for sure, but as a quote-unquote selfie station, as our very own bean, if you will, like Chicago has, this heart structure is very good.
How big is it? I just had to say, is it three stories, two stories? She actually just said, you see a render sometimes. This is one of those cases where it did not live up to the expectation. You look at the renderings. She goes, you see it. It is even better and bigger than we had hoped.
Yeah, it's like three stories. What is that? 25, 30 feet tall and wide. And it's a great entrance. But it could also, a lot of people think as well, it could be moved somewhere because you don't want to leave it right there at the memorial, but you could move it to another iconic place
City. Okay, but where would it belong? And I'm just, and tell us on the text line if you have a different idea. Can you also back up, Dan Witt? If you walk out of Union Station, for those who have not been down to FanFest, where is this heart?
Well, it's up on the lawn of the memorial.
So you can, but from the front doors of Union Station, if you walk out, can you look up that hill and see it or no?
No. You can't see anything from Union Station other than the back of the massive memorial screen.
So to me, it should be more.
None of the fan fest is visible from Union Station.
Okay.
You have to go up the hill.
You have to go up the hill.
And then onto the lawn.
Could they put it down the hill or no?
They could. They could put it in Washington Square Park, and it could be an entrance to the new baseball stadium.
I think the problem with the idea that it wasn't designed to be permanent is probably it wouldn't withstand the weather for multiple seasons.
We'll just paint it.
And also, they may say, well, it wasn't designed to be permanent because they built it for the temporary fan festival, right, which everything gets taken apart. But everyone's like, this is a really cool-looking thing.
Oh,
let's put it somewhere.
There's going to be engagements under that thing. There's going to be wedding photos under that thing. There's just all of the selfies that have been taken under that thing.
And it is an iconic image from all of the fan festivals and all the different host cities and all the things that they have set up. Up there on the lawn, the memorial with that heart, that's the best thing I have seen from any of the cities.
They could put it in the new Barney Alice Plaza when they're done with it.
There you go.
Listen to this. We are all way off. Populous was the firm that designed the heart. It is a 65-foot heart sculpture that serves as the focal point of the festival grounds. We knew that the heart had to be the focal point, they say, but it represents much more than just the shape. It stands for hospitality, ease, the heart of America, and the heart of game in Kansas City. I absolutely love it.
I mean, it's quite the surprise, in a sense. It's like, oh, wow, look at this. This is so cool and such a cool thing.
Then it says four audiovisual towers, each more than five stories high, incorporate fountain features designed to evoke Kansas City's fountains when lit. That's cool.
Those towers are really cool. They hold the TVs, basically.
Yeah, sure. God, it's huge.
But yeah, the heart.
Very cool.
And it's lit up. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back this weekend.
I know. Now I'm thinking, okay, we'll figure out some way to get
Dana,
down there this
go
weekend.
Tomorrow.
I do. I want to go see it.
Mm-hmm. Put down the fishing pole and go tomorrow.
An angler will not be told, Dan, when one will go fishing, but I will tell you we are going fishing tonight.
Okay.
Sam, fish ain't going to catch themselves. What am I supposed to do?
You're not going to catch them either.
Just because I haven't caught one yet does not mean that I could not catch one at some point, perhaps tonight.
Are you a sporadic fisherwoman or a calm fisherwoman?
I plop down and I sit and I throw that lure out there and I don't move. And one of the things he said to me is you have to sort of move up and down. And
there is magic to it.
The fish are moving, so you should be moving. And I'm like, no, I kind of like the calm and the sunset, and I just want to sit here.
You have to emulate the food that they
It's probably
would want
why
to eat.
I haven't
You
caught
just want to lay on the bank, tie off the line to your toe.
That's what I want to do.
Drop it in the water.
Drop it in the water and see what happens. Mm-hmm. When we get back, there's a new twist in the legal fight over a $12.8 million winning lottery ticket. At first, one worker who clocked out and claimed the ticket was his was involved in this. Then we figured out there was an original woman who actually purchased the ticket. She's now involved. We'll tell you who the third person is staking claim to this ticket. Sam, you're going to roll your eyes. A judge is now going to have to figure it out. Can't they just all split it? We'll have the answer for you on Dana and Parks straight ahead. Okay, so there's almost $13 million at stake. But it's a little confusing and a little wonky and a little rocky, really, if we're going to be honest, as we all try to figure out who can lay claim to this lottery ticket. It's gotten more convoluted. At least three people now claim ownership of that lottery ticket that an Arizona Circle K manager claims he bought after it had already won $12.8 million. New court filings show that the big winning ticket was printed for a customer, and she has now been identified. So this is lottery ticket owner number one. Her name is Soon-Chun Kim. She went into the Circle K in Phoenix to check her numbers for the pick. When she went in, Kim ordered $60 worth of new tickets.
Okay.
But the clerk accidentally printed 85 tickets. She ordered $60 worth of tickets. 85 were actually printed with her chosen numbers, with some of the tickets falling behind the printer.
Very common mistake, yeah.
According to the latest filings in the case. So she orders $60 worth. They accidentally print 85. A bunch of them fall behind. And then the next day, enter store manager Robert Galitza, who is I lay claim to lottery ticket guy number two. He learned, as the store manager, that a winning ticket had been sold at his store. So he dug out the other printed tickets that had fallen behind, found the one that matched the winning numbers, 3, 13, 14, 15, 19, and 26, then clocked out, removed his Circle K uniform,
mm-hmm.
went around to the register now as a, quote, customer,
right,
and, quote, bought the winning ticket for $10.
So he has no claim. Okay, next.
Galitza then said, hey, to fellow Circle K worker Marlene Ibarra. And he goes, Marlene, why don't you sign the back of the ticket with me? Now Ibarra claims she is lottery ticket owner number three.
Nope.
And claims she is also entitled to collect a stake in the $12.8 million winnings.
That no.
It gets even funnier. Galitza, by the way, and Ibarra both being represented by the same attorney who had declined to comment. Kim is the original purchaser. She went in, said, give me 60. For some reason, they printed 85.
Right. Ran it through the machine one too many times
or something
like that.
She walked out, though, Sam, with 60. So that means there were, what, 25 different numbers left behind that had fallen behind the printer?
Yeah, I mean, if they were just moving quickly and... What is? Did you say it was Powerball? Is it $1 per ticket?
No,
it doesn't matter.
It's called the pick.
It doesn't matter. So say it was like a $10. Every time you put the card into the machine, it printed out a $10 ticket.
Got it.
They just put it in, you know, too many times, it sounds like.
But if it ran on her card, would you not make the argument that that ticket belongs to her? She didn't physically receive it, but if they charged her for it, doesn't she own it?
Well, no, it sounds like they only charged her for 60, but the extra $15 fell, or $25 fell behind the printer. The reason that they have no claim to it is because they bought it after the drawing.
Okay.
Had it been a misprint, you have a right to go ahead and buy the misprint prior to the drawing as an employee.
Do you really?
You cannot buy it as an employee on the clock. But say there were a misprint at, you know, 10 a.m., my shift ended at 2, which is pretty common for gas station shifts to end. The drawing doesn't happen until 9 p.m. tonight. I could get off work and say, hey, I misprinted some Powerballs.
I'll buy them.
I'm going to go ahead and just buy
those. I'm going to buy them.
That would be totally legal. That would be a legitimate lottery purchase. And if those were the winning numbers, I would be a lottery winner. In this case, it was after the drawing, and he went and found the extra ticket and was like, well, they're not going to know. Yes, they are. They go back and check the cameras. They check all of it. They have no claim to that money whatsoever. It all belongs to her. What should have happened was those tickets that fell behind should have been voided out, and it brought up a lot of confusion because they didn't do their job initially as stewards of the lottery service.
The only thing I heard from all of those things, and I understand what you're saying, but the only thing I heard was some of the things that you said at the very, very beginning, and that there were $25 in the beginning that were discarded. If I was Ms. Kim, for the rest of my life, if this turns out that she does not have any claim to that money, I would think, had I just given them $25, for $25, I would now have $12.8 million.
Oh, no, she has a claim.
Because if you think so, because if the clerk had said to me, oops, it accidentally printed out 10 more, do you want them? I'd go, sure.
No, she has a claim. She bought the tickets. She is the one that purchased the winning numbers.
Okay, but
all
wait,
of the
Sam,
money
wait.
Is hers.
Wait, help me understand this. She asked for 60. They printed 85.
It doesn't matter.
She doesn't have a claim just to the first 60?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
The only legitimate purchase was the one that she made.
Okay.
So whenever those numbers, assuming, say they were a misprint of numbers that did not matter, that would just go in as lost revenue from the lottery because they didn't do their job in voiding the tickets properly. And it would just be a wash for the gas station. So the only person with legitimate claim to that money
is that woman,
Miss Kim.
All right. If you are heading down tonight, this weekend, even just to get a look from afar at what's going on with World Cup stuff, you will not be able to miss a gigantic potato that has just landed in our town.
Big potato?
Have you seen it?
I have not.
The world famous Big Idaho potato truck is currently parked outside of Union Station. And I mean, it covers, like, picture what the front of Union Station looks like.
It's a big spud.
It covers almost the entirety of the front of Union Station. I don't know why there's a world famous Big Idaho potato truck here, but it's literally there for you to take photos with.
They're here because Kansas City has become the soccer capital of the world, and they went on that publicity train, you know?
It weighs 4 tons. You guys, it weighs 4 tons.
Wait, is it a real potato?
Okay, so on the truck, it's on this enormous rig that's cherry red. You cannot miss it. And it says it's okay to ask, quote, is it real? They don't give you the answer. I don't think it looks real.
No way.
The thing is gigantic. But it's down there. And if you're looking for something to do this weekend with the kids and you're thinking like the World Cup stuff is a little too much, go and check out the potato.
Just thinking of the logistics of the structure of a potato and how you'd have to pull a 4-ton potato out of the ground. No way it's real.
It would involve chemicals that I don't even want to think about, Sam.
Yeah.
From the Kansas City Star, did you see the first Chiefs player has been revealed in the NFL Top 100 for 2026.
Yeah.
He checks in at number 94, and I think, by the way, that is way too low.
I think it's great for his position.
Since the NFL Top 100 debuted in 2011, the league has delivered the results in a variety of ways. The NFL Top 100 is an annual ranking of the best 100 players in the league as determined by a vote of current players. For the 2026 edition, the NFL is revealing 2 players per day, every weekend morning. Pardon me, every weekday morning. So they didn't just dump the whole 100. So people are going to be in their car screaming, is Kelsey on the list? Is Mahomes on the list? No, they are revealing 2 per day, every weekday. And that's why we start at the bottom. On Thursday, actually, the first Chiefs player hit the list at number 94. And he is beloved center Creed Humphrey. There was a 2-minute video announcement about it, and he said it, I quote, I don't know, I don't really like talking about myself.
He was 93 last year, so he did drop a position, but that probably had something to do with our overall record as a team, which, if you remember, was horrible.
Do you know where, like, Kelsey and Mahomes and those guys were on last year's NFL Top 100?
I will look.
Like 20, top 20 or something? He is almost 27 years old, by the way. Humphrey has spent his entire career in Kansas City. We selected him out of Oklahoma in the second round of the 2021 NFL draft, and he's one of my favorite players. The accolades have been there for Humphrey, who, in addition to starting as center as part of the back-to-back Super Bowl championship teams in 2022 and 2023, is a 3-time All-Pro. He was a second-team All-Pro in 2022 before becoming a first-team All-Pro in each of the past 2 seasons. He could be a candidate for another extension next offseason. This is his 2nd straight appearance in the NFL Top 100.
In the 2025 NFL Top 100, Patrick Mahomes came in at number 5 behind Jamar Chase, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Saquon Barkley. Travis Kelce not featured in the top 10. Chris Jones came in at 12.
Wow. And then what's going on with the Lions? Is it Terrion Arnold?
Yeah.
He apparently has been arrested and faces kidnapping and robbery charges. Is that how you pronounce his name, Terrion Arnold?
Yes.
Facing multiple felony charges after he was arrested this week in Tampa in connection with a robbery and kidnapping back in February. Tampa police previously arrested 6 other individuals involved in a targeted armed robbery that took place shortly after midnight on February 4th, during which 3 men were pistol whipped held at gunpoint, and robbed. Police say Arnold was the primary conspirator. He is accused of coordinating and directing the co-defendants to lure the three men to an apartment where the assault occurred. Why? Why?
As you mentioned, he's 23 years old. He is in the Falkenberg Road Jail in Tampa, Florida.
The incident began, here we go, after personal property belonging to him and others were stolen from an Airbnb that he had rented in Largo, Florida, and periodically stayed at with the six co-defendants. So someone came in, stole a bunch of their stuff.
Worth, they went to go take
worth
it back.
$250. This reminds me of the OJ thing in the hotel room. Remember, they couldn't get him on murdering his wife and Ronald Goldman. They got him on kidnapping and roughing up somebody for taking his memorabilia in that hotel room.
I had not heard that story.
$250,000 was allegedly taken in this case. And yeah, they went back to get their stuff back and use some muscle to do it. And he is now charged with a massive amount of very serious felonies.
So did they not steal his stuff? I'm so confused.
I think the people did steal the stuff, and then he directed two co-conspirators to kidnap and pistol whip and demand the stuff back, is the way I read that. My God.
Brutally beat them at gunpoint and pistol whipped them.
The Lions, in a statement, said they were aware of the situation but declined to comment, quote, out of respect for the ongoing legal process.
Arnold's manager said that he, quote, categorically denies any involvement in the alleged conspiracy.
All right.
Travis Kelce, by the way, in the 2025 Top 100, didn't appear until 37.
Oh, he's got other things on his mind this weekend, like a wedding coming up.
Wait, so maybe we should focus on football?
No.
Are you joining the bandwagon from last year?
Just focus on the wedding. Uh-huh. I mean, it's like coming up in, what, handful of days?
What do you think about the theories that MSG is just a decoy?
I think it would be hilarious if they rented out and shut down Madison Square Garden as a decoy so they could be married somewhere else. I think it would be brilliant and hilarious.
I know that you love her, but I did see a report that she took 31 private jet flights in the last 31 days.
So?
I don't know. Some people would think that's a little ridiculous.
Sam, if I owned a jet, I would probably use it.
Okay. Anyway.
We're back with much more on Dana and Parks. Oh, by the way, Festivus Friday is coming up. For the love, it is Friday.
Yeah, it is.
My goodness. We will air the grievances promptly at 5 o'clock. Don't start texting them in now. But you can call them in after 5, and we would appreciate it if you did. 913-586-7798. The airing of the grievance is coming up here at the top of the hour. Want to make you smile and maybe laugh on our way into the airing of the grievances and Festivus Friday. Researchers have discovered surprising similarities in how humans and great apes giggle, reflecting ties to common ancestors. According to a new study, humans and great apes have been giggling in similar ways since branching off the evolutionary tree. How do we know this? Researchers tickled 13 captive apes, including gorillas, orangutans, chimpanzees, and recorded the results.
That doesn't sound dangerous at all.
I want to be the researcher that got to tickle the chimpanzees. The new research re-examined those decade-old recordings and compared them with the newly captured giggles of four young children while they were being tickled and playing at home. It turns out that the chuckles of humans and great apes follow very similar rhythms, with regular timing between their laughs, a uniting thread that likely reflects their ties to a common ancestor.
I love it.
In a way, we are very similar to other great apes because we've been laughing in a similar way for 15 million years. Laughter communicates a playful, happy feeling without using words. Many animals can laugh too, but the giggles don't follow human patterns as closely. Oh God, when researchers tickled rats, for example, the rats responded with ultrasonic squeaks. Scientists trying to uncover how laughter has evolved have picked apart animals' facial expressions, but less work has been done on how laughter sounds. And compared with apes, human laughter has become faster and more complex through the thousands of years. For one, our laughs sound different based on context, from a polite chuckle among colleagues to a full-bodied guffaw with close friends. We are, as humans, the masters of laughter, quoting here from the head of this study. The giggles evolved to best suit animals' different social lives. They say the study's findings make sense and point to a need for more investigation. They also are looking into comparable recordings, by the way, of other animals with playful facial expressions like dogs, horses, and cats, so we can understand more about what makes us uniquely human. Does Barb smile?
Oh, yeah.
You can tell when she's happy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Dogs don't laugh. Cats, I don't think, smile or laugh. But
no,
dogs,
I think
dogs really do project joy.
Oh, absolutely.
When they are feeling happy, they
project.
The tail
wag, the butt shake, the whole nine.
Absolutely.
Speaking of dogs, did you see the viral video from the Miami Marlins?
No.
So they do something similar to what we do here at Kauffman Stadium, where they let you bring your dogs out to the game every once in a while.
Like a bark
right?
at the park, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was a dog day at the Miami Marlins game, and there was a family that had their pup next to another family that had their pup, as you would, you know, expect to see at a dog day at the game.
I think I did see this.
For whatever reason, the family on the left was feeding their dog a hot dog. I mean, probably because their dog loved hot dogs. But what nobody could skip over was the fact that the dog adjacent was just staring
like
at this other dog getting a free hot dog. This dog is happy as a clam, smiling, showing all the joy that he could. So the Marlins put out a picture as if it were a mugshot of this dog just dead staring at the other dog and saying, wanted a very good boy. Reward a dream day at Lone Depot Park. Well, the internet did its thing. Social media
did its
thing.
Did they track the dog down?
They have now found the dog.
Uh-huh.
His name is Jonah. Jonah was born in Aruba and rescued by a family through New Life for Paws.
Jonah's a good boy. Give that boy a hot dog.
And on June 12th, he will get his dream day at Lone Depot Field at the Marlins game.
Hi, Jonah. Thanks for joining us at Bark at the Park. We're so sorry you didn't get your treat. We promised you a dream day at Lone Depot Park, and we meant it. We'd love for you to come and throw out the first pitch on July 12th. We hear you're a southpaw, and don't worry, we'll have plenty of treats ready for you. See you then, your friends at the Marlins.
That is darling.
So he got a whole basket of a bunch of treats and a toy hot dog. Just absolutely
adorable.
Oh my
God, I love it. As we leave you, they found the giraffe. I've had more people reach out to me and say, how the hell do you lose a giraffe? We don't have the answer to that, but they did in Texas at a zoo. They have found her, I believe today, after she escaped at the Cedar Hollow Ranch. And guess what? They found her using aerial surveillance because, you know, it's not that hard to spot a giraffe from up above.
They're big. They're tall.
Gracie is back home where she belongs. And they say she is, quote, fat and happy. We hope you are too. Airing of the grievances will commence promptly after this break. Line them up.
Wide open.
Line them up. 913-586-7798. You can text in your grievances as well. We will air the grievances on Festivus Friday, straight ahead on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.